How Two Women Trained a Man of God. From a child, Timothy had known the scriptures. The faith of his mother and grandmother was a constant reminder of the blessing in doing God's will. The lessons he had received from them kept him pure in speech and unsullied by the evil influences which surrounded him. Thus, his home instructors had cooperated with God in preparing him to bear burdens. Paul saw that Timothy was steadfast, and he chose him as a companion in labor and travel. Those who had taught Timothy in childhood were rewarded by seeing him linked with the great apostle. Timothy was a mere youth, but he was fitted to take his place as Paul's helper. Though young, he bore his responsibilities with Christian meekness. Paul wisely advised Timothy to be circumcised in order to remove from the minds of the Jews that which might be an objection to Timothy's ministry. If it should be known that one of his companions was uncircumcised, his work might be hindered by prejudice and bigotry. He desired to bring to his Jewish brethren, as well as to Gentiles, a knowledge of the gospel and sought to remove every pretext for opposition. Yet while he conceded this much to Jewish prejudice, he believed and taught circumcision or uncircumcision to be nothing, and the gospel of Christ everything. Paul loved Timothy, my own son in the faith. As they traveled, he carefully taught him how to do successful work, to deepen the impression already made on his mind of the sacred nature of the work of the gospel minister. Timothy constantly sought Paul's advice and instruction. He exercised consideration and calm thought, inquiring at every step, "Is this the way of the Lord?" The Holy Spirit found in him one who could be molded and fashioned as a temple for the indwelling of the divine presence. Timothy had no specially brilliant talents, but his knowledge of experimental piety gave him influence. Those who labor for souls must throw all their energies into the work. They must lay firm hold on God, daily receiving grace and power. Before pressing into new territory, Paul and his companions visited the churches in Pisidia and regions round about. They delivered to them for observance the decisions which had been reached by the apostles and elders who were at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. The apostle Paul felt a deep responsibility for those converted under his labors. He knew that preaching alone would not suffice to educate the believers to hold forth the word of life. He knew that line upon line, here a little and there a little, they must be taught to advance in the work of Christ. Whenever one refuses to use his God-given powers, these powers decay. Truth that is not lived, that is not imparted, loses its life-giving power, its healing virtue. Paul's knowledge, his eloquence, his miracles, all would be unavailing if through unfaithfulness in his work those for whom he labored should fail of the grace of God. And so he pleaded with those who had accepted Christ to be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, holding fast the word of life, RSV. Every true minister feels a heavy responsibility for the believers entrusted to his care, that they shall be laborers together with God. Upon his work depends in a large degree the well-being of the church. Earnestly he seeks to inspire believers to win souls, remembering that every addition to the church should be one more agency for carrying out the plan of redemption.